Previously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been touring South India, he met Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari. At that time, it had been decided that Ramananda Roy would resign from his post as the governor and return to Jagannath Puri to live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 28. Upon the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Ramananda Roy took leave of the king and returned to Jagannath Puri. After he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much enjoyed talking with him both day and night about Lord Krishna and his pastimes. After Ramananda Roy, this is text 29, arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Kashi Mishra and met Pradyuma Mishra and other devotees. At that time, three personalities, Paramananda Puri, Govinda, and Keshishwar, came to see Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. Text 30. Eventually, there was a meeting with Swarup Damodar Goswami, and the Lord became very greatly pleased. Then there was a meeting with Sikhi Mahiti and with Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy. Text 31. All the devotees from Bengal gradually began arriving at Jagannath Puri. At that time, the residents of the Kulina Gram also came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. In text 32, eventually, Narhari Das and other inhabitants of Kanda, along with Shivananda Sen, all arrived and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them. Om Agyana Timirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksus Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surita Pangur Mamamanda Matir Gati Mat Sarvasva Patambojo Radha Madhana Mohano. Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very special. In this particular, well, first I'd actually like to thank the devotees that came today. This is such a special event to sit together, read Chaitanya Charitamrita in front of the deities under Srila Prabhupada's guidelines on how to do things, that it's inconceivably auspicious. But yet, there's only few are fortunate enough. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya. Different events come up in people's lives that put a value on something other than this, which we're not going to discuss too much. However, in this particular part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj is just giving us a summary, because similar, just like Prabhupada when he came to America, he gave us the Krishna book, a summary study of the 10th canto, because he wasn't sure how much longer he would be with us. So he wanted to give us the essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya, condensed version of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, condensed study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he wanted us to elaborately understand these, but in the beginning, first is the essence. They give the essence, just like the prayers to the six Goswamis. The reason I picked that this morning, I was thinking about that particular verse where Prabhupada had given us that, and it said that they were expert at scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures. That's, we could ask somebody like Pushkar, if you wanted to scrutinizingly study all the revealed scriptures, what kind of brain power would one need to do that? insignificant. Who can even imagine what kind of personality could scrutinizingly study all the revealed scriptures? But what's their aim? Because you can study it, but they had an aim that what they were doing it for, and that was to establish eternal religious principles that are for the benefit of everyone. Not only were they expert at scrutinizingly studying all these and establishing the eternal religious principles, which we know from previous conversation with Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was asked, where do you find real religious principles? He answered that they're found in the hearts of the pure devotees. So he pointed that out. And then they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis. So in these verses here, I do have the notes on expanding the different points here, but I thought first I'd like to just make some point that this Chaitanya Charitamrita requires a very special qualification for hearing and reading. And we can see a little bit of that right now. It's like, it's not that everybody's already worn out their books at home, so that's why they're here, because we're gonna at least do it. These books, Srila Prabhupada's, is his life, the Nitya Bhagavata Seva. This was, how important was it to him? We remember the marathon to get the books, these particular ones printed. Was it 75, was it? Or 76? 75. How important this was. And of course, in devotional service, what we're learning, it's all about pleasing the spiritual master. Yesha Prashada, Bhagava Prashada. Without pleasing the spiritual master, Nagadipa Topi, there isn't any spiritual life there. So we know how important these books are to be read, and we know anybody even comes in contact with them, their life will be changed. And what's it changed from? Prabhupada one time says, if everybody became Krishna conscious like you, how would it be different in this country? Anybody remember that conversation? There'd be no more hippies. And then there was the famous line where they said, well, what's a hippie? They asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said back to him, you know better than me, something extraordinary. And everybody laughed. But other than that, he did say he was turning hippies into happies. So the result of coming in contact with this literature is it changes the living entity from frustrated. Anybody ever been frustrated? No, nobody has that experience here, right? Or having things just turn your life upside down. That's what this world does. It's so designed. Ah, Brahmana Bhuvana Loka. Certified engineer to do that. However, Srila Prabhupada's books change that. So that's the significance. That's the prayer of the pure devotees. They're always thinking how to benefit the living entities that are suffering in this dukkhaliya mashashvatam, this temporary nature that just disturbs everyone, with the hope that you could be happy, never get it. So there are different types of reading material. Just like I was thinking, at one time I was trained as a technician, and I learned how to read schematics, which is a particular language for that. So there's all these different types of languages. But this particular language that's being described, this particular, these books, they're also written very special. And, this is actually a very special type of enjoyment, but it's condensed. We were talking the other day, I was asking Bob Rue about language, English professor. So poetry, for instance, is a condensed language. the word means a lot more than it's just being said. That's also one of Krishna's qualities, that his linguistic skills are that he can say something and it means, it's very condensed, has much meaning and hidden meaning. So in these particular stories, this here is just the general, under the general part of the story. Then there's a specific story where later on in, it explains what happened, who these different personalities were, what Lord Chaitanya discussed with them, like we know about with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. That conversation had so many different points on it to bring us from what external understanding of religious principles are to internal life of pure devotional service, and the fact that Ramananda Roy was in a considered a Sudra family and was a householder. Those things, according to the technical aspects of society, aren't acceptable. So Lord Chaitanya came and I'm going to skip around a little. There was this one part that I thought, when I was reading the notes, Mother Nanda was scheduled to give the class, but she had to leave early this morning. So she called me yesterday and asked me to give the class. At first I was disappointed. We are so fortunate to be able to have association of these great souls and listen to them, even though because they're right next to us and we see them every day, we sometimes don't recognize. And it says a saint is never recognized in his hometown. So these devotees that are here, that they're actually quite incredible personalities. So I felt a little bad, but because she was asking me, I accepted, and she sent me over the notes that she had prepared, which were more or less compilations of the from the Veda base of these different personalities. And I was reading through it, honoring her work that he's done. And this one particular part really stuck out to me, and it more or less captured my interest for a theme for the class, because the principle that there's what we were talking about before, these eternal principles, and I've noticed that there's understanding when you understand something. Oh, okay, I got it. Then by practicing what that understanding is, the perspective, one comes out of the darkness of material existence, and he has realization of the other realm of existence. Realization is enlightening from the internal potency. But as that matures, it turns into a type of relish. So I was thinking about that too. In relish, it's something like poetry, in the sense that it takes liberties that ordinarily you wouldn't take. You know, even though it's communicating, but it's communicating, like we discussed before, a condensed version of experiences, and it has a marvelous effect. Just like we always know that the person supersedes the regulation. Just like everybody knows when there's a red light, you stop. If you don't stop, you're going to get a ticket. That's understood. But suppose there's a policeman there that goes and waves you through. Suppose you point to the red light and you tell him, no, I'm going to stop because the light's red. What'll happen then? He'll wave harder, and then he'll walk up to your car with his ticket book, and he'll give you a ticket if he doesn't get even more. If you see me here, that supersedes. I am the authority behind that red light. I supersede the authority of that light. You have to listen to me. So when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya comes, no one can say, you didn't stop at the red light. He says, I am the authority of that light. He says, when I'm here, I can wave you through. We know, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he had his thing with truthfulness. You know, but the principle is that the person supersedes that, the actual authority. So Here's one part I'm going to just skip around a little bit. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishwarapuri accepted a servant who was born in a Sudra family. This has to do with the personalities that were Kashishwar and Govinda were the personal servants of Ishwarapuri. So when Kashishwar, he was considered to come from a Following the orders of the spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda came from a Sudra family, but because he was initiated by Ishwarapuri, he was certainly a Brahmin. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why Ishwarapuri accepted a disciple from a Sudra family. Sometimes we hear that Prabhupada came to preach to them. Anyway, according to the Smriti Shastra, which gives directions for the management of the Varnashram institution, a Brahmin cannot accept a disciple from a lower caste. In other words, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra cannot be accepted as a servant. If the spiritual master accepts such a person, he is contaminated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishwarapuri accepted a servant, disciple, or disciple born of the Sudra family. In answer to this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do we ever say that? Anything like that? How about every day we say that? Who knows what verse? Which one? Were you saying it? Could you say it a little louder? Sat Sat Hari Twain. There you go. So, an empowered spiritual master like Ishwar, as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishwarapuri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant of any mundane rules and regulations. An empowered spiritual master like Ishwarapuri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste, creed, or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and his guru should be therefore considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the verdict of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Saksat Hari Twain. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. He is not subject to mundane rules and regulations. So this particular part, it led into here where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's question like this. He said, both the Supreme Person of Godhead and my spiritual master Ishwarapuri are completely independent. Therefore, neither the mercy of the Supreme Person of Godhead nor Ishwarapuri is subject to any Vedic rules and regulations. And it said, the mercy of the Supreme Person of Godhead is not restricted to jurisdiction of caste or creed. Vidura was a Sudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his home. And then this is the verse that I thought is the essential element of what we're hearing about in these points. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. So that's the crux of why we're hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why we're hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, why we're doing it. It's getting to the very essence that Prabhupada's very pleased that we're taking this time out of our day. So many different things that we could be doing. And a lot of people are, but there's how many devotees in this community, how many non-devotees in this area. Just like if we went right now to Walmart, still you'd probably have trouble finding a parking spot. The place is always crowded. But we have a little teeny parking lot. We don't have that problem. This is such a special point. So what I was kind of driving at here is the need for devotees to remind each other and for us to remember what it is, the boon of Prabhupada, Prabhupada's association, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to just reflect on that, so it doesn't become something that has to be done, or maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't, on the mental platform. Just like we had this exquisite deity worship, and it's so incredible. Practically, if you go any place, it's very hard to ever find that. So we're also, every one of us is part of the deity worship when the curtains open for us to be here. My little pet peeve. That this is our respect for the deities. Just like if you were an entertainer and you were scheduled to start at a specific time and you got there, the whole crowd's there, they open the curtains and you come, 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, something, it would be a questionable situation on that. So this is not to forget for a minute that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead right here, and this is our service to them, to look nice, come and see them every day, let them see us every day. That's also very special. The idea of darshan is something that we think that we're seeing the deities, but also as one understands, continues to grow, understanding continues to grow, we know that the deities are seeing us. Just like suppose you went to see someone and you got there and they said, "Oh, you again? You're not happy to see me? You just, my mother made me come, so that's why I'm here. I didn't really want to come to see you, but she forced me, so here I am." That person would not feel so, "I'm glad that you came to see you." "No, I didn't come to see you. I had to come." You know, so when we see that the deities are looking to see us, you're happy. "You've come to see me? How do you like the way I look? See how my devotees take such nice care of me?" It's very personal, Krishna consciousness. And just like we're saying with this Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very condensed, which means that there's volumes and lifetimes of understanding to get to this point of what we're having here. However, how is it possible for us, which have very little qualification other than being but fallen, the most fallen, and Prabhupada is celebrated as deliver the most fallen, what other qualification do we have? So sometimes I'm thinking like that, how it is that we can understand things that so many great exalted persons can't understand. Do you ever think about how that's possible? That's not hard to understand. Why is something not hard for us to understand where it's almost impossible for everybody else to understand? Anybody ever think about that? Guru Krishna Prasade. We've been given this mercy from Srila Prabhupada that immediately puts us in this perspective to see things so clearly. Just like if you take the elevator up to the roof of the Empire State Building, you can immediately get a view that nobody on the street can see. And that they may have shut that. I'm not sure if they still go there because of Kali Yuga progresses. People jump off of it. Maybe they just put a fence up. But anyway, the mercy has to be recognized. We have to consider it and discuss it amongst ourselves of what this is, because it brings with it a certain immune system against the material energy. padam jusva navardante, that this sometimes I'd like to put it in other words, like a lotus flowers have a certain substance on them, oily substance, is it? So even though that they're growing in the mud and there's the waterfalls on it, rolls off. So this this gives them an ability not to be affected. So by reading, hearing, studying, associating with Prabhupada's books and those who are repeating his books, one gets this immune system of this this special substance that keeps the material energy from affecting us. We're in a material environment all around. So this material environment has a very serious consequence to it. It's deadly. It's a toxic nature. And everybody who associates with the material energy dies from it and has to take birth and dies again. And one should see what it is. But it looks nice because it's a reflection of the spiritual. So I can go on with that, but I did want to mention how it says here in Adi Lila text 136, I have briefly described the meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. No one can actually describe the meeting exhaustively. It is impossible even for Lord Seshanaga, who has 1,000 hoods. So why is that? First you get a broad view. Then you have the details of what went on. And then they take one aspect of the detail and they analyze it for all the incredible qualities that are in that. And then you take just one quality of the exchange. Like here it says that Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy spent their days and nights enjoying one another, discussing Krishna Katha. So you can just say that as a statement. You can also say, is there any place in the Bhagavad Gita that mentions anything like that? Because Bhagavad Gita has everything in short code. Then you have the Bhagavatam that shows how that happens by applying the Bhagavad Gita principles. And then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's into the sweet condensed nectar of both of those points, even more graduated. So as you go from one to the next, that substance thickens. Just like it says in the beginning, there's some shraddha, a little bit of faith. So that faith, because that is the primary qualification for hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, is faith. It says, without faith, one will argue or bring up different points, and they'll never understand anything. They'll stay in the world of argument. But because of faith, which is created by association of devotees to the point where one applies the principles in his life, comes out of, by following the shastric principles, he comes out of the influence of the material energy, and he starts to... the break in the clouds, they always like to have that picture of the clouds with like a little teeny break where the sunlight's coming through. It's like a divine idea. So that happens, and one sees what it, and if he continues to grow his faith like that, the material energy doesn't affect him. It's still there all the time, but he has his internal faith in life that's growing, and he doesn't get affected. And what happens then is this marvelous thing that he actually sees that his real taste is this taste for Krishna consciousness. And because that's his real taste, it's attachment. And he starts to experience different emotions. So as Krishna consciousness develops, these different emotions become his life. That's just what he lives in these, they mention them as I think Bhavas, they're all these different ones, and they interact just like baking the cake, or the cake is being done, they interact in a particular way. So he says it's briefly because you can't describe it, because at a certain point, the translation in the next verse was, the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk, and the activities of Ramananda Roy are like a large quantity of sugar candy. Their meeting is exactly like a mixture of condensed milk and sugar candy. When they talk the pastimes on Radha and Krishna, camphor is added. One who tastes this combined preparation is the most fortunate. So this is the direction. We're learning how to taste. This is varam jusvada vardante. By experiencing this taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. And it says, this wonderful preparation has to be taken orally. If one takes it, he becomes greedy to relish it even further. So there's a natural progression that we want to catch up, that this is what happens. And it says, by hearing these talks between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one becomes enlightened. That's always good. With transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Thus, one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And then the next one was, the author requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the confidential truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I've already run over time. I just wanted to make that point first, but that took up the whole class. So, thank you. And if there's any questions or comments, Jackie? Adoshada, Sadasanga, Bhajana Kriya.
You know, the one where you said that the author was requesting to mm-hmm. have faith and to not argue. That's Krishna Das Kaviraj.
Madhya Leela, chapter 8, text 309. Yes, it was. He says, because at a certain point, one already is finished with all that, and he understands it's a trap. Argumentation is a trap. And he's old at this time, and he's just speaking, save time, just listen to these, and a natural relish will develop in you. And that relish is the sign, he says, of the greatest good fortune. So just like a grandfather comes by and wants to give you something, puts it in your hand and walks away, he said, just take this, just take it, that's all. Don't ask, just take it and read it, because time is very short. In Kali Yuga, there's so many harassments. Everybody's being harassed by one thing or another. And then when you get a little older, your body harasses you even more in a different way. When you're young, it harasses you to do things. And when you're old, it harasses you, you can't do things. But either way, you're always being harassed one way or the other. And then dragging you here, go do this, get entangled, go do this. But he's saying his life is so short, and all that you do is get another one if you stay busy doing that. Why not, Prabhupada would say so many times, they said, just dedicate this one life to Krishna. Just this one life. And of course, that's all we knew, is that there's more besides this life. But he's, the Trikala Gyani can see that the tar baby effect of material energy. You know tar baby? There was a story, Briar Rabbit and the Tar Baby. It was something I grew up with. And it's basically, it was a trick for this, I think it was the rabbit. Wasn't it the rabbit to get away? It was a long time ago. But anyway, he got the was it a fox? He got the fox so upset that he was going to hit the rabbit. So he made a duplicate of himself and out of tar. So when the fox hit the rabbit out of tar, his foot got stuck in the tar. So how do you get your foot out? The fox thought, I'll put my other foot in to pull the first foot out. Not so smart, right? What happens? 2 feet are stuck. So he's got two more to do. And gradually each one of those gets stuck too, because if you got 2 feet stuck, you figure I'll pull those two out by putting my other foot in to pull it out. So I found, and then gradually you're just completely stuck. Material energy is like that. It says, you're stuck a little bit in this material energy. Just get a little bit more involved and then you'll be able to get out. If you just had a little bit more money, if you just had another job, if you just worked a little harder, then you'd be able to have enough money to get out. And of course, they use examples over the ages that demonstrate that point. We knew about the yogi, the famous yogi with two pairs of kopins. He had two pair of underwear, and he would wash one and wear the other. But then a mouse came by and put a hole in his other pair when they were on the line. So he says, oh, this is a problem. What am I going to do to fix this problem? I'll get a cat. Cat will keep the mouse away. He gets a cat, he goes back to meditate, you know, trying to be undisturbed. And you know what happened? What's the cat say? I want some milk.
Meow.
So he says, oh, okay, let me stop my meditation just for a moment. And I'll get some milk. So where am I going to get? I'll get a cow. So he gets a cow, milks the cow, gives the milk to the cat to keep the mouse away and goes back to meditate. And then this cow now requires so much attention. So he says, I'll get a wife to take care of the cow. That way I won't be disturbed to be milking to give the cat to keep the mouse away, so I won't get a hole in my underwear. So he gets, finds himself a nice wife, and then the wife says, but I don't have a house to live in. So he says, I need a house to live in for me to milk your cow, to give the milk to the cat, to keep the mouse away. So after a while, he started to get the idea that now all his time was taken up by this entanglement. So Krishna, the first thing he says to Arjuna, he says, you forgot that you're eternal. Let's put it back in perspective. You're eternal. And this is the best you've done in eternity, all right? So let's just take a look at it. You're eternal. So then, what do you do? The very next instruction was, Marta Sparsas. Sukha dukkata, he says, just tolerate it. He says, because if you don't tolerate it, what happens if you don't tolerate? Entanglement. Those are the only two things you got. Tolerate or entanglement. Because as soon as you're acting under the influence, tit for tat, whatever it may be that is getting you interacting on that level, he says, you can't cut through the labyrinth knot. Okay, I'm sorry, went late again. Any other questions? Was that all right? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees, Sangha, Hare Krishna.